Okay, so we're going to continue in the Haftarah of Parshas Maaseh. This is continuing through the second parak of Yirmiyahu. So we've been taking a look at some of the Musar, and we've been, perhaps some of us have been surprised that the Musar that's given a few thousand years ago is relevant, and not just relevant, but it's directly talking to us. The Nevuos of Yirmiyahu were Kavua Ladoros. They are for us in every generation, until, I guess, the times of Mashiach, maybe. Some of the Nevuos are going to be about the times of Mashiach, actually. And we were instructed to read it at this point. Chazal instructed us to read these Haftaras now. So that means that this is the message. Until we have a Beis Hamikdash, until we're in the times of Mashiach, this is very relevant to us, especially during this time. We spoke yesterday about the importance of seeking out Hashem. Ayeh, saying Ayeh Hashem, very least. You don't have to say Zekei Levyam Veyu every 2 minutes. I see Hashem, I see Hashem so clearly. At the very least, Ayeh Hashem, where is Hashem? And Hashem is, Yirmiyahu always tells us, V'lo Amro Ayeh Hashem, you didn't say where is Hashem. And then we mention Pasuk Vav, Pasuk Zayin, we're going to pick up the pace a little bit just because it's a longish parak. Then it says that the Hashem who took you through the Midbar, through the Arava, the Shuchav Aretz, the Tzvatzamaves, this place that people can't live. And somehow, Hashem miraculously took us out. Took us through a desert. We spent a long time there. How long did we spend in the desert?
40 years.
How many Masaos, how many encampments do we have throughout? Right? And they're listed in the sixth parsha, right? Parshas Maaseh. So this is, I guess, another connection you could say. The allusion to the time throughout the Midbar. But they had a long time, and everything was provided for them. In a place where nobody could survive for more than a couple of days, in a desert, a place that's unsettled, and they spent a really long time there. 38-year stay throughout the desert. 9-year, it's about a full 40 years. There's a 38 and a half year delay because of Chet Maraga. So they're there, and Hashem took us. Hashem says, "I brought you lechol piria v'tuva, right? To eat its fruits and its goodness." And what happened? Vatitamu es artsi v'nachlasi samtem l'soiva. I gave you an eretz, I gave you a nachla, and you profaned it. You made it an abomination. Right. Eretz Yisrael is the place that all eyes are focused on. Right? That's not just historical. Don't we see it nowadays? Isn't there just an absolutely disproportionate amount of coverage on things going on in Israel? Yes? No? One more time?
Yes.
One more time. Yeah. Okay. Right. I mean, in American politics. Right. So there's what do you think of immigration? Of welfare, there are a few topics. One of the topics is Israel relations. Why is that a big stance?
So an ally in between kind of three countries, and it costs a lot to,
Because there's a disproportionate amount of focus on Israel. There's something strange about Israel.
Religion has their claim to.
Whether you want to say religion or country, right? There's no like America. So what's your stance on Africa? What's your stance on this? What's your stance on that? And yeah, okay, people have a stance. I have a stance on China, but that's not a big thing. What's the talking topic? Talking point? Israel. Religions. What's your stance on Christians? What's your stance on Muslims? It's a Jewish thing, right? There's a disproportionate focus on the Jewish people and on the land of Israel. And with that said. It's a toeva. When everyone's looking at Eretz Yisrael and you're acting this way, you're supposed to be representing Hashem. You're supposed to be representing what it means to live a godly life. And Hashem is looking. Everybody is looking to see what it means. This is Hashem's people. This is Hashem's land. And he made it into a toeva, an abomination. It continues in Ches. HaKohanim lo amru ayeh Hashem. The Kohanim didn't say ayeh Hashem. The Kohanim were having Amuna problems. They were having theological challenges. And they also didn't say Ayah Hashem. V'sof se'a Torah. And the seizers of the Torah, those who seize the Torah, who grab the Torah, meaning people who are presumably learning. Lo yida'uni, they didn't know me. That's pretty bad, right? All the guys sitting in Kolal don't know Hashem. Va'roam pashu bi. And the shepherds, they rebelled against me. What do you think it means by shepherds over here? People taking care of the sheep? What do you think it means by shepherds?
Sorry?
Kings. What was the translation of that?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Okay, yeah, it's based on the Mepharshim. Shepherds over here, it doesn't mean like, Jethro with a sheep. It's talking about the leaders, the people who, right, the flock, right? The flock of Klal Yisrael, the shepherds are the leaders, the kings, the rulers, the officers, directors. So they pashubi, they rebelled against me. Vanevi'im and the Nevi'im. Nibu Babal, they gave Nevu'os through the Baal. Vachare lo yilu halachu. And they went after those who can't help them. Okay, so this is really bad, this pasuk. So you say, okay, a lot of Klal Yisrael, people will be people. People make mistakes. Who are these people that are sinning?
Everyone.
Not just everyone.
Even the leaders.
The leaders, the leadership, the Kohanim. The Kohanim, what's the role of the Kohanim? To do the avodah, to inspire, to teach Torah. Those who are learning, in theory learning Torah, are not connecting to Hashem. They're not trying to understand God behind it. It's just a superficial learning. The Nevi'im, people who perhaps would have the potential to have Nevuah, were doing Avodah Zarah instead. And they had false Nevuahs through the Baal, which is a big Avodah Zarah. The shepherds, who are supposed to, right, what happens? A sheep goes out of line, so you bring them back into line, right? Sometimes with a rod, sometimes with food, whatever it is. But you get them in line. That's what shepherds are for. That's what leaders are for. And the leaders are the biggest sinners of them all. Anybody who learned any parts of Malachim knows that. Knows that that's some of the worst Rishayim in the history of the planet were the kings of Yehuda and Yisrael. Yehuda was overall was a little bit better than Yisrael. But some of the worst people who ever walked this planet were the Jewish kings, who put Avodah Zarah in the Beis HaMikdash. Horrible things like that. So Hashem says, or Yirmiyahu says in the name of Hashem, even they don't know me. L'chein odariv itchem nu'am Hashem ves b'neichem ariv. So therefore, says Hashem, I am going to contend with you, I'm taking up a grievance with you. Yigiyazman, you and your children, I have to take up grievance. I have to contend. I have to make a fight. Kivru iye chitim uru v'kedar shilchu v'zbonenu ma'od uru hein hayisak hazos. So he says you have to take a look at other people. Says Yirmiyahu, the chitim, the kedar, the people who live in other countries, and they're idolatrous people. But look what they do. Hahemir goy elokim. Actually, Goy Elohim. Hahemer Goy Elohim, Vehema Lo Elohim. Do they ever exchange one of their, like, if those nations that really subject themselves to one particular most or more powerful God, do they exchange him for another God? Meaning, if there's a God that they really believe in, right, some sort of God, even if it's not Hashem, and it's not maybe the all-powerful God and the God of morality. But if they believe in the sun God, so would they ever exchange him for some other God? It says, Va'mi hemir kvodo b'lo yo'il. He says, they exchange me for something that doesn't help. Meaning that the way the Gemara in Tanis explains it, is that of these two groups, one of them had a God of fire, the other had a God of water. So who would typically win that battle? Right? Play Pokemon in the past. Okay. Right. So you have fire, you have water, or you just know basic science of life. So if you have fire god and water god, so it makes sense that the water god would be more powerful, and therefore you should worship the water god and not the fire god. But these nations, they kept their loyalty to the fire god. One of these nations, they said, we're not exchanging the fire god for the water god. Like, this is our god. So Hashem says, look at this. They're believing the fire god, even though he loses to the water god. And you guys forsake me for some idol that doesn't do anything. Meaning, even like this Shita Sam, according to their own belief, their god is not as powerful, yet they are loyal to him. And you're not loyal to me, even though I'm the all-powerful god? I am a kol yachol, and you're exchanging me for what? For a little stone stuffed animal that you made? The ami, my nation, hamir kvodo. They exchanged his honor, kvodo, Hashem's honor, below yo'il, with something that doesn't help? Doesn't do anything? Are you kidding? Shomu Shemayim Alzos. The Shemayim should be amazed, astounded about such a thing. V'saru chorvu ma'od nu Hashem. And there's a great damaging things that are going to happen. The word of Hashem. Just notice over here this nice alliteration. Shomu Shemayim. The heavens should be astounded. So it's a little poetic use in that lashon. Kishtayim ra'os asami. My nation did two things wrong. Osi azvu, they have forsaken me. Makor mayim chayim lachatzov lahem boros nishbarim asher lo yachilu hamayim. Right. That basically, I'm the source of I'm the makor mayim chayim. I'm the source of life. And they dig themselves boros, these pits that just are basically ineffective, don't really work so well. These broken pits, bor nishbarim. And they don't even have water. This was a big thing at the time, Avodah Zarah. And that's one of the things Yirmiyahu is going to have to deal with throughout his career. But that doesn't mean it doesn't apply to us, right? Because we all have our Avodah Zarah. We all have our things that we put our faith in. We all have things that we dedicate our time to that maybe we shouldn't, or dedicate more time than we're supposed to. Right? Do we have any examples? Not from you, from your friend. Do we know them? We just don't want to share them. Is that okay? Okay. We're not gonna embarrass anybody. Okay. But there are a lot of things that we put our faith in, and that you know that's our equivalent of Avodah Zarah to some degree. It's any time that you take the focus off Hashem, and if you overdo hishtadlus in any way, overdoing it, hishtadlus is appropriate at times within your betachon level, but to overdo hishtadlus and take Hashem out of the equation, to overdo hishtadlus, yeah, 100%, yeah, for sure, not for a tzaddik like you, but for most people. Mr. Shem, maybe we'll speak about that tonight at the turning Thursday night into Erev Shabbos thing. We'll speak about that a little bit. Maybe we'll give examples then as well. Okay, so you're digging your own pits, and the pits don't work, right? If I fully invest in how am I going to stop this pandemic? If I fully invest everything, and oh, I know, I'm going to listen to every single thing that the CDC says, and that is my God. Right. But the CDC disagrees with the WHO, who disagrees with the President of the United States, who disagrees with there are a lot of different opinions. So what are you doing? You're basically, if you invest your whole entire life into digging broken boros, broken pits that won't hold water, what's going to happen in the end? Okay, so you have to do something, right? But you have to do some stylus, you have to follow Andina, Nochusadina. That's a separate halacha. That's a halacha. And you have to do, you have to follow the mumchen. You have to try to get, but if, to invest everything into that, especially your emotional energy and your loyalty in that, not Hashem, that's a form of avodah zarah. Ha'eved Yisrael, im yilid bayesu, madua hayalavaz. So he says, is Yisrael a slave? Right? Was he like born to a slave in the home? Madua hayalavaz. Why is he such a bizayo? Like, what happened? Alav yishagu kfirim nasnu kolam. What happened? These kfirim, young lions, have raised their voice, have roared at them, v'yashisu artso l'shama, and they have placed its land for devastation, for desolation, arav nitsu mibli yoshev, no one can live there anymore. Right? Gam b'nei nof v'sachpanches yiruch kakod. Even the people in these places are going to beat in your skulls. Halo zos tase, right? So he says, right, he says, "Hello, Zos Tasalach, Azveich Es Hashem Elokayach Beis Malicheich Badarech." Didn't this happen because you've forsaken Hashem your God in the time that He was bringing you out on the path? Meaning, how is it possible that this happened to you guys? You guys weren't born, like, I didn't bring you into Eretz Yisrael, and you were like born into slavery that you knew nothing else besides. Besides slavery and being prey and being a victim, how did you become such victims? Does anybody ever feel like Jewish people are victims? Has anybody ever felt that? Okay, so that's not what it's supposed to be. We think that, we feel like that because we have a gullus mentality. Why do we have a gullus mentality? Because we've been here for two millennia. But we're not supposed to be. There's not supposed to be anti-Semitism always rears its ugly head. There's not supposed to be that. There's supposed to be, if not a fear, at least an awe of the Jewish people. We experienced that. When Shlomo Melech was king, everyone sent gifts to him. Sor, the queen of Sheva, people sent gifts to him. They paid homage. The Jewish people, they're incredible. Goyim would come to the Beis HaMikdash and bring karbonos and daven there. It was incredible. We're not supposed to be victims. We are noble. We are descendants of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Sarah, Korach, and Leah. That's what we're supposed to be. How does it happen that all of a sudden, how is there a Holocaust? How are there Crusades? How are there Jews being beaten up constantly in Crown Heights now, really all over? How is what happened this last Hanukkah in Muncie? How is this happening? How is it that these young lions are roaring at you and scaring you, and even these weak countries are beating in your skull? How did that happen? That wasn't always the case. How did that happen? Halo zos tasalach azvech haseshem alakayach ve'es malichich badarach. Isn't it because you have forsaken Hashem? Isn't that the answer? Not to chas v'shalom say that anybody who is a victim of any anti-Semitic event or attack of any sort has forsaken Hashem. Chas v'shalom to say such a thing. However, nationally, to experience such things, and to experience victimhood nationally, and to experience anti-Semitism nationally, is a response to our national downfall and losing our status. And that is a response to having forsaken Hashem. Because we live in Golis, that's why we have this. And then, okay, so we need like a couple more days to be able to do this, but the takeaway just for now is why does all this happen? This is not the world that's supposed to be. Hashem, anti-Semitism is this massive chilul Hashem, where people see the Jewish people as victims. That's not supposed to be. We're supposed to be revered because we revere Hashem, and once we're able to rebuild that, blessed is Hashem. We'll be able to go back to the Beis HaMikdash, and it'll be a world of peace. Shizuch soon.